Our scripture passage for the sermon today is from the very end of the book of Deuteronomy. That means it's the very end of the Pentateuch, which are the first five books of the Bible. It is the very end of the law. It tells us about the death of Moses, but it also tells us something else that's very important, especially today, as we gather around God's table and as we think about a deep, personal, abiding relationship with God. I invite you to hear God's word today. Follow along in your order of worship or on the screen as we read Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 1 through 12, the very end of the law in the Old Testament. Scripture says, "Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the Mediterranean Sea, the Negev and the whole region from the valley of Jericho, the city of palms, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, 'This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when I said, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it.' And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab in the valley opposite Beth Peor, but to this day no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, and yet his eyes were not weak and his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains in Moab 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord commanded Moses. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel." May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word this morning. There's an interesting story told in the Gospel of John. It is in the 12th chapter. We read these words in the 12th chapter. It says, "Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. 'Sir,' they said, 'we would like to see Jesus.' In my very first church where I served as pastor, there was a small plaque, a bronze plaque that was on the pulpit there at the very top. It had words engraved on the small plaque. It said, 'Sir, we would see Jesus.'" Isn't that true of every Christian? We would all love to see Jesus, to have an experience of a deep, personal, abiding relationship with Jesus. We crave that kind of intimacy with our Lord and with our Savior. We all want to see and to know God. That's why the relationship that Moses had with God is so interesting. The relationship between Moses and God is just simply phenomenal. It was almost like God and Moses were family members or the closest of friends. I love the phrase at the end or toward the end of our passage for today where it says, "Since then no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." We might say personally, intimately, in a close relationship. This morning I ask, what might we learn from Moses in terms of what it means to have a close, intimate, personal relationship with God? I think Moses has much to teach us about what that kind of relationship looks like and what it takes for us to have that kind of intimacy with God. We see it described in this passage. Moses and God knew one another face to face, but we also know this throughout Moses' life. What does he have to teach us about a close personal relationship with God? Well, first, as we think about the life of Moses, I think it's appropriate for us to think that what we see there is for Moses and God, there was this ongoing engagement from both parties in their relationship. What's so interesting in the relationship with God and Moses is that neither one of them ever pulled back. Neither one of them ever disengaged from their relationship. Moses continued to engage with God, and God continued engaging with Moses, telling Moses about God's plan to release the Israelites from their captivity. Moses then would share his thoughts back to God, and God continually then spoke to Moses, and Moses listened, and they shared together. Now, let's be clear, Moses did not always like what he heard from God. You remember that conversation they had in the beginning of the book of Exodus, chapters 3 and 4, where Moses is standing before this bush that is on fire. It is consumed, but it is not being burned up. And God and Moses have a conversation, and it doesn't necessarily go well. In fact, if you have a chance, reread that conversation this afternoon. It's two chapters, Exodus 3 and 4. But in that conversation, God tells Moses what he needs and expects Moses to do. Moses does not want to do it. And so throughout two chapters, Moses raises objection time and time and time again to what God asks him to do. The discussion goes on for quite some time. And finally, when Moses starts offering excuses that continue and even begin to get out of hand, become a little bit ridiculous, God becomes angry with Moses. But even then, even when God is angry, God and Moses continue to talk. In fact, they negotiate a plan. They reach kind of a compromise. The compromise was Moses would lead God's people out of Israel. That's what God wanted Moses to do. But Moses would not have to be the spokesperson. His brother Aaron would do the speaking because Moses did not want to do that. This compromise was important, but here's what we can't miss. The compromise was important, but the relationship, the conversation, the ongoing engagement between Moses and God is what is so important. This relationship between a flawed human being and a holy God was sustained as both Moses and God continued to engage one another. Neither turned away or ignored each other. What does that have to teach us? Do we continue to engage with God even and especially in those times when God seems silent? Or maybe when God's answer to our prayers is not exactly what we want? Moses had an ongoing engagement with God. But there's another related point to that ongoing engagement. Moses learned the importance of outpouring all of his emotions, both negative and positive emotions, to God. when Moses was upset or angry. He didn't turn away from God. He didn't try to work things out on his own, saying, okay, God, if you're not going to help, then I'll just go do it myself. Rather, what Moses did is so important for us to see. He poured out his frustrations and even his anger to God many, many times in their relationships, in their relationship. After the burning bush incident that I referred to just a few moments ago, we read in Exodus chapter 5, verse 22, the negotiations with Pharaoh were not going very well. Now, God had asked Moses to go and release the people, and Moses was doing what God asked, but the conversation wasn't going well, and Moses was getting very frustrated. In fact, here's what we read. Listen to how Moses responded to God in Exodus chapter 5. Moses said to God, "Oh Lord, why are you mistreating these people? Why did you ever send me here with this task? First, since I came to Pharaoh, God, you have done nothing to deliver your people. And that's what you told me you were going to do. Wasn't that the reason you sent me here? What is going on, God?" Now, let me ask, do you feel comfortable hearing Moses talk to God in that way? We might even ask this morning, is that an appropriate way to talk to our holy God? I think Moses would say, yes. Moses sets an example for us here. We might feel a little uncomfortable with his brutally honest talk with God, but remember God's reaction. God did not scold Moses. God did not zap Moses because of his blatant disrespect. God did not severely punish Moses because he spoke to God in this way. No, there was not even a reprimand from God. In fact, in chapter 6, God says to Moses, "Look, I understand your frustration, but I've got this covered." See, this close-to-close relationship between God and Moses was based on sharing both the good and the bad in life. Moses didn't come to God and pray when he was frustrated. He didn't come to God and pray, "God, I thank thee that thou art holy and righteous. Bless us as we seek to serve you," on and on. No. He was honest. He was angry, and he shared those frustrations with God. Moses said, "God, I'm confused and I am angry. What is going on here?" Intimate relationships with God, seeing God and knowing God, require that we share everything that is happening in our lives, all of our emotions, both the positive and the negative. God craves our willingness to share all of our emotions and our feelings with God. But these relationships also require something from us, not just this kind of sharing, but there's something else we see in the life of Moses, and that is obedience. In Exodus chapter 7, when we're reading about this continual relationship between God and Moses, listen to what the scripture says. Exodus 7, verse 6. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them to do. Obedience. Over and over and over again, especially in the book of Exodus, we read that phrase. Moses and Aaron did exactly what the Lord commanded of them. Listen, Moses wasn't perfect. We know that. He made mistakes. In fact, in our text for today, he couldn't enter the promised land because of a mistake that he made. He wasn't always obedient. But Moses spent most of his life striving diligently to be as obedient to God as he could. And we read that phrase over and over again. Moses did as the Lord commanded him to do. In fact, I would say to you this morning, it's the same phrase that we often hear from Jesus. In John chapter 15, when Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples, when he's saying to them the most important things he wants to share before he leaves this physical earth, he says to them, "If you love me, you will do what? Keep my commandments, right? In other words, if you love me, you will be obedient to what I'm asking of you. I want this kind of ongoing engagement in our relationship, but I'm also expecting that you will be obedient to what I am asking. Such a critical question as we gather around God's table this morning. How do our lives reflect our obedience to God? Another related point here is how honest Moses was in his speaking and his listening. Honesty in our prayer life, as we've talked about, is so important. I read the story that many, many years ago, parental discipline was a little bit different than it is today. And the story goes that there was a little girl who was being punished for something that she had done that week. And the way her family punished was that instead of sitting with the family at the mealtime, she had to sit over in the corner by herself and eat her meal alone without speaking or engaging with the rest of the family. So the rest of the family did not speak to her as they ate, but they did overhear her prayer just before the meal. She bowed her head and she prayed, "God, thank you for preparing a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." It's honest, right? Honest with how she felt in the moment. In Exodus chapter 32, as we continue through the life of Moses, Moses had been up on the mountain with God for some time receiving the Ten Commandments. And while he was away, the people down at the base of the mountain were getting into some trouble. You remember they were taking the gold and they were melting it and they were making golden calves. And it's interesting, the conversation between God and Moses when they're up on top of the mountain, it almost sounds like two parents talking. It sounds kind of like this. One says to the other, "Hey, you better go down there and get your kids because I've about had it with them." And the other says, "What do you mean my kids? They're your kids too. Why do you want me to be the bad guy, right?" Those are my words. But that's kind of the conversation between God and Moses up on the mountain when the Israelites are down at the base. They're having trouble. This honest talking, this honest sharing and listening is such an ongoing, vital part of the relationship between God and Moses. Finally, there's one more thing I want to share with you today before we gather around God's table about this relationship. The other thing in the life of Moses is his intense desire to know God. Moses desired to know God. Like the deer pants for the water, Moses wanted to know God. See, he didn't have a deep, meaningful relationship with God because he was perfect. We already talked about that. Moses made mistakes. But there was something critically important in Moses' life, and that was he wanted to know God. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 3, we read, Moses says, "God, show me your ways that I may know you and find favor in your eyes." And then just a few verses later, Moses says, "And God, show me your glory." And guess what? God did just that. God answered Moses' prayer. God showed Moses his glory. In verse 11, we read, "Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend." That's why we read in our passage for today, there at the very end of that text, that God knew Moses face to face. It reminds me of the words of that beloved hymn, "Grace That Is Greater Than Our Sin." In that hymn, we sing that line, "You who are longing to see his face." We crave that kind of relationship with God. We want that kind of intimacy. This morning, as we read about Moses, the text asks us, does that describe you? Do you long to see God's face? Do you want that kind of intimate, deep relationship with God that Moses experienced? We might not physically be able to see God, but we can learn so much from Moses about what it means to have a deep, abiding relationship with God as we pour out our hearts to God. Not only our good feelings, but also those fears, complaints, and yes, even our anger. God is big enough to handle whatever is on our hearts, whatever is in our minds. For today, we proclaim and we receive the good news. God is our refuge and our strength. And when life becomes difficult and frustrating, God wants nothing more than for us to stay engaged, to open our hearts, to listen carefully, to continue to be obedient to God's will, and for us to be close to God. For one day, this table reminds us, one day we will see God face to face. This morning, this table represents so much for each of us. It represents the forgiveness of our sins. It represents God's love and grace poured out into our lives. But let us not forget, this morning as we gather around this table, it also represents our desire to share that face-to-face, intimate kind of relationship with God. So I invite you right now to pause with me. And in these moments, prepare your heart and prepare your soul to commune with God. Let us pray. Oh God, in these quiet moments, we open ourselves to you. Lord, we share with you in these moments the good and the bad. We share with you the joyful as well as the sorrowful. We share with you our happiness, and we share with you how our hearts are broken. For Lord, we know that just as we crave an intimate relationship with you, you also crave that honest, open relationship with us. So in these moments, search our hearts, know our minds, help us truly to experience your love and your goodness and grace. For we make this our prayer in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.